the narrative.
Hey everybody, welcome to Forge Narrative. My name is Paul Murphy, your host beyond the Bell of Lost Souls podcast. This is episode, I believe, 184. I'm so excited. Before I introduce him, I've seen the Death Guard. I have seen the new Death Guard, and they are glorious. I saw a scythe that's larger than a marine. They didn't say whose it was, but I think we can all guess.
I'm going with Typhus.
Well, Chris, I think we've just been upshowed.
The rumor, what was stated was that it can kill a Primarch.
Well, as it should. It's a beautiful sight.
Well, I don't necessarily say who it was, but I'd like to point us to, if you guys haven't noticed right now, I have Justin Troop and Chris Morgan.
What up?
Hey, guys. Paul's a bit hyper.
I mean, I just came out of the Games Workshop preview seminar, and I'm very excited, and we'll talk about the things that we can talk about. I mean, they want it to be a special treat for the folks that are here, but we know there's going to be a bunch of picks and a bunch of talk, so we're going to talk about everything we possibly can with respect to that, so I'll say that.
Fair enough. Lay it on us, good sir. Yep.
Well, what was it? Which book was it, Chris? Where Mortarion sliced Horus?
Where Mortarion sliced Horus?
Yeah, that's at the place where they're at the gates. What is that big gate? It's where Mortarion slices Horus across the chest to let Horus bleed. So he goes into the gate and then lives his life and walking around like Drago through the warp.
I'm
in Adepticon right now, by the way, so some other folks just came into the room. I got Justin Pizza Frazza and Miles Hamrick from the Wrong Way Kids joining me.
We
got Ricky Atkins and David Fields.
Justin Pizza Party.
And Jared Lane from the Tryhards, soon to be conscripted to be Wrong Way Kids, hopefully.
Never.
It's happening. Just accept it.
It's coming that way. But anyway, you guys know the book that I'm talking about. Somebody's trying to open up a bottle in the marble at the countertop. That's not going to happen. Anyway, it's that kind of party. But where I was going is that Mortarion slices Horus with his guard there. So we know that, let's say, if it were Mortarion's scythe, that it has the potential to at least dramatically wound Primarchs.
Yeah, I mean, you would think that Mortarion would have a scythe capable of doing such things. If, you know, Fulgrim can have his stabby death dagger in Gilliman's throat and almost kill him, think the scythe can do something, right?
It wasn't just Death Guard Marines. It was also cultists.
So we get zombies.
They would be the best looking zombies you've ever seen in your life. So I don't know, but anyway.
Styling zombies?
Yeah, amazing models. What we did get some information on Age of Sigmar, I'll go ahead and put that out there, is that there is a War Scroll Builder. It's a website, a browser-based website. I'm actually looking at my Age of Sigmar people in the room right now and saying that there is a browser-based War Scroll Builder that is going to be supported by the Warhammer community site. It will be linked off. I didn't even know. I'm sitting next to the guy who coded it. He's a great guy. Tony Hashio. I'm probably mispronouncing his name. But anyway, I had a chat with him. I may try to get him on the show coming up soon to talk about this. But I just want to point out that it's going to be supported on the Warhammer community site.
Well, that they can get traffic there, I think the better, because I enjoy the site so far, but there are some features to it that it's just shy of that perfect interaction feel. You know what I'm saying?
We'll get to more of that later. Hopefully we cover it in this section. And we'll be brief. I know we'll probably do multiple segments over the course of the weekend. This is just Wednesday night of Adepticon, the new unofficial start date. And I want to say, this is also the 4-year anniversary of Forge Narrative. We released our first show. I think it was March 22nd. Y'all can say, you can make noise. Other people in the room are like, can we make noise?
I'll flip it out.
I'm excited. Anyway, I'm pumped. So it's really cool to get this information and have it line up with that. Anyway, couldn't have planned it better. So they did not call any of the stuff from 40K that they spoke about as any sort of edition change. So take that for what it is. Now, we're talking about, you know, we're going to refer to it probably even as in casual vernacular as 8th edition. But they did show a slide that had open, matched, and narrative play. And then they went on to say that, hey, we want to reward people that stick to a faction. They didn't say stick to a faction. They said build thematic armies, which, you know, that's perfectly fine for them to say. But
that doesn't sound like Age of Sigmar at all.
Well, there will be command benefits to people that take and build thematic armies. That's as far as they went. I got a question in the audience.
Is winning considered thematic?
Well, funny you say that. I don't think that mattered. The question was, if you couldn't hear it, is winning thematic? And
winning is a theme.
Yeah, you know?
It's a life choice.
I want to say that they didn't go into the specifics of what command points would do. They just said that you would be rewarded for building a thematic army through the command point system, with an example, and this is just an off-the-cuff example, I don't know, some rerolls or whatever, I assume that there will be more. They mentioned that movement values will return. If you remember pre-third edition, everything had a different movement value. Marines moved, what, 4? Eldar moved 6? Things like that. Shooting. This is very important. The return of armor save modifiers. I don't know if this
replaces. I love it.
I don't know if it replaces an AP system, but I would imagine that it would be difficult to do both. But I don't know. We saw nothing printed. There was nothing absolutely at all printed. This is just words that I hastily typed out in notepad on my phone.
Does that sound like mortal wounds at all?
Yeah, does it sound at all like Rend or anything like that, do you think? True? Well, do you think it'll operate similarly to that?
I bet that's going to be a rule for sure.
Yeah, dude. Okay, so like basically, they struck gold with Age of Sigmar. Those rules that they use are solid. The combination of how they interact in the game is solid. Yes, Age of Sigmar has flaws. It's a living rule set. I'm sure they're addressing it in the General's Handbook too. But with the success of de-bloating Warhammer Fantasy and turning it into the amazingness that Age of Sigmar is, I am not shocked in the least that we are hearing similarities that are going to be ported into the 40K universe to help de-bloat the 40K universe as well.
Here's every gun is going to have a place. That is, now we know that there will be optimizations and things or whatever, but that is the idea that they wanted to put across, was that every gun would have a place. Would you guys like to hear about maybe some assault changes?
I'm totally on top of that.
So
tell me the goodness.
What was mentioned, you know, this again, no paper, no nothing, other than just a conversation, but it was highly indicated that charging units would swing first. If you were the charging unit, you would get to swing first.
Love it.
So grenades, not going to matter.
I bet, you know, who knows, man? I mean, I would imagine it gets simplified a little bit, but you know, maybe terrain still plays an effect, but grenades can't. I don't want to assume. Morale doesn't really matter to a lot of armies right now. So what we're going to see something now, I think going forward, or coming down the pipe anyway, is something close to instability for lots of units. So it'd be a roll a die plus the models you lost, and then I think you're going to maybe take some casualties based on how far you exceed your leadership value.
Isn't that how Fearless used to work back in 3rd or 4th edition, where if you were Fearless, you'd take additional hits if you lost combat?
Yeah, that's pretty close.
That's pretty awesome, man. That's a great thing to kind of get around all these different like mechanics and stuff. Like you said, basically, you know, leadership was almost a null point. You know, half the time you ignored everything. So I love that it's going to have an impact on the game again. I feel like 40K is getting deadly.
So we got just a brief teaser about some new models, and they were specifically Death Guard models, not just Nurgle, but Death Guard. And then we saw that big scythe.
That's beautiful, man. I mean, you know, Paul, me and Paul, we're huge Death Guard Nurgle fans. So I know he's excited, right? I'm pumped. I didn't get to see it. I'm jealous. I'm just over here plucking away doing homework, and he's out here getting the golden treatment. So
envy is real.
So the community site that we were talking about earlier, they're going to add comments to the community website. People are going to be able to interact with it. There's going to be an interactive FAQ forum specifically to answer some of these questions. And then they're going to do things to spruce it up, like bios on the community people that contribute, and then add this War Scroll builder, which I can only assume means tidings for an interactive 40K builder down the line. That was not indicated. That was not spoken about. But I think it's, you know, just
God.
You lead, one thing leads to another.
The implications of that are huge because, you know, everything that we have now that we take for granted, Battle Scribes, Army Builder, all these tools, they're all fan-based, you know, so there's errors in there. But if you get the guys that are actually, you know, plugging and playing straight from the horse's mouth, I think, you know, there's a good chance, especially with the funding that they have, they're going to be able to create a product that would be amazing and really just game-changing to what we're going to be able to use and you know, build armies hopefully with and stuff like that. So that's exciting news. Hopefully it pans out to what we hope it is.
I hope so, man. They did indicate they're going to support it. I mean, even so far as they brought up the guy that did this War Scroll builder on the little plot talking area to say that, hey, we're going to support this endeavor. So real excited about that. I know this is brief. We'll probably wrap this up right now and do more segments later. I know this is brief, but I wanted to get who I could on to talk about this right now.
You know, we're here for you, the people.
Yeah, we basically just wanted Paul to be able to articulate that before he passes out later tonight.
Yeah.
Hey, we're going to talk again soon. Be poised at the ready for more segments as we move through this exciting Adepticon. Good night, guys. We'll talk soon. And if hang out, I'm going to attach this to some other segments. Anyway, it's going to be awesome.
Sweet.
FTN is brought to you by Bell of Lost Souls. Check out www.bols.org for the best daily hobby articles on the web.
Hey everybody, my name is Paul Murphy. This is another segment of Forge Narrative coming here live from Adepticon. I'm joined today by Andrew Thomas from Shapeways.
Hey Paul, what's up?
Andrew, man, thanks for coming.
Thank you.
So you are, again, I mentioned from Shapeways.
Yep.
That's a 3D printing site.
Yep.
Where there are a multitude of things available. Can you tell me a little bit about it and your role there?
Absolutely. Yeah. So Shapeways is a 3D printing service and marketplace, and we take digital files and turn them into physical objects. So you can take a 3D model file that you create yourself, or someone can help you make it, or you can use an app. However you do it, upload it to our website. We'll show you all of the prices automatically in over 60 different materials. And then you can order it yourself, or you can put that into a shop and sell it to other people, you know, like eBay or Amazon or Etsy or something.
That's
like that.
Pretty interesting. So with, you said design it yourself.
Yep.
Or have it. I mean, you could come equipped with a design.
You have a design. And yeah, so that's the starting place for most everyone is either that they... you know how to 3D design things, so you know how to use ZBrush or you know how to use SolidWorks.
Or you go to Fiverr and somebody knows how to do it for you.
You go to Fiverr, you can come to our website. We have a whole designer for hire section. So we have a lot of really experienced people in our community that are offering their services. And you know, you say, hey, I want this, show them a sketch or something like that, talk about, you know, size and material. And they can you know, you arrange a rate for them, they make it for you. There's also apps that are really cool. So there's HeroForge is an example that does miniature RPG characters, and it's like a video game. So you go in, you create your custom character.
I've seen that. I'll be honest. I've messed around with HeroForge a bit. They get the printing through Shapeways.
Yep. So they use an API to send it over to us, and then we print it out and send it right to you.
That's pretty neat. What do you think the most common item that people get 3D printed is? Unless it's, you know, not kid friendly, and then you can save that.
Yeah. Well, we can go off the record for that later. No, I'm just kidding. It's everything. So we have a factory in Long Island City, and going into that building and seeing what's kind of literally coming off we have like a tray, like conveyor belt of trays, and it's a random assortment of things. Truly random. So some of it's artwork.
It's print on demand, right?
Some of it's print on demand. Okay. Yeah, exactly. So it's anything that whatever, you know, 1,000 people decided they wanted that day, that's what's in our factory. So that could be board game models, that could be artwork, that could be jewelry, that could be prototypes for the new iPhone, that could be, you know, all sorts of components for electrical things.
Wow. I mean, what's the size of the machine that does this? How many machines are there?
A whole bunch of different types of machines. With 60 different materials, there's you know, maybe like 10 different material families.
Can you explain that a little bit? And then get back to the machine question, I guess. But I think of everyone just imagines that it's plastic. So what's...
Most people are familiar with home 3D printers. They are what you call like an extruder or FDM-based machine. It's, you know, sprays out or pushes out like... a hot plastic. It's usually PLA or ABS.
That's a type of plastic.
Okay. Yeah. So ABS is what Legos are made of. So it's very common. PLA is what if you have a disposable cup, like the clear ones. That's PLA.
Oh, it's like a solo cup, a clear
solo cup. Okay. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So those are kind of like the. Yeah, I know. I'm going into like the.
No, this is it's fine. No one. I don't know this stuff. I just assume other people might not know what this stuff is.
Right.
So if they're looking to get, I don't know, custom party cups for their anniversary or wedding or birthday or something. That's something that could happen, and it would come out in the exact same appearance as a solo cup or something, right?
Yeah. So yeah, people are familiar with these types of plastics. The machines that make them can do it really quickly, but they have like very low levels of detail. You can see all the lines and everything like that. So that's what I think most people know already. What we have are really big industrial machines that were being used for like prototyping in the aerospace industry, like GE or Boeing would have these, and they would be making a couple of things on them. They can do a lot more detail, and they can get a lot bigger and have a lot more freedom of geometry is how I describe it. So we sort of took that technology and we figured out how to put lots and lots of parts together to make the prices a lot cheaper so that anyone could afford it. So there's, for when I was talking about material families, so there's a strong flexible material family, which is made of a laser sintered nylon. We do that in a whole bunch of different colors that will dye afterwards and polish for you.
Laser sintered nylon?
Laser sintered nylon, yeah.
Okay. That sounds very technical.
Yeah, maybe I can show you guys a video or something at some point. But basically there's a laser that will go around in this powder of nylon, and it will melt it. And then it puts another layer of powder over it, and it melts that to the previous layer. And
All right.
It's like, if you think of it like, it's like burying each layer as it builds up.
Okay, that makes sense. Earlier, I know you can see on the radio, but I was nodding in agreement. Yes. Yes, see, yeah. That it sounds like burying in powder.
There's lasers, and there's burning, and there's fire.
Hey,
and
look, everybody listening to the show loves lasers. So that's fine. It's fine.
Yeah. And so we have, so there's that process. There's some other processes that use a resin that's cured with light. So it's like when you go to the dentist, you know, if you're getting a filling or something like that, sometimes they'll use that light beam.
I've seen like one of those little ass scene on TV things, yep, where like repair your glasses with this photon beam of light. Is that
exactly
the same thing?
Yep. Same thing. Yep. It's a machine that's choosing the shape, and it does the same thing. So it'll make a shape, and then it'll move up a little bit and make another shape and, yep, move up, and it goes layer by layer until you have the full shape.
How do people decide what material and stuff is the best for them? Because I can imagine maybe some people just go, they get curious, they check it out, they want to go and say, what can Shapeways do? I've always wanted to get this tea set.
Totally.
You know, or whatever. How do they determine which is the best material for them?
So I think for most people, it's a combination of cost. It's a combination of like level of detail and quality. And then it's a combination of what do you want the kind of the material properties to be.
Okay.
So the laser sintered nylon that I mentioned before, we call it strong and flexible plastic because it's strong and it's flexible. It can, you know, you can make something that's very functional with it. If you make it really thin, it will bend and it won't break too easily. It can hold a decent level of detail. The resins are higher detail, but they're more fragile. So, you know, downstairs we have some of the call it frosted ultra detail, or we'll call it FUD sometimes because we abbreviate everything.
Yeah, cool.
But it's a great material for really high detailed stuff that you want to paint and you want it to look perfect. It looks, you know, very high detailed. So that's what the model scale people do. That's what Wargamers do.
How is the cost of it? Like, is it costed per design, per ounce of material?
It's per the amount of material that you're using.
So whatever the design is of the material, per the material.
Yep.
Is there any cost to like upload the design? Like,
nope. You can upload as much as you want for free, and we'll give you the quote and every material right when you upload.
Okay.
So you can kind of judge off of that. There's a lot of people that, you know, have some techniques for making things cheaper, you know, by hollowing it out or by attaching
things. Is that
together
an option, or is that something that's on the file that they have to upload?
That's a option that's on the file. You know, that could change soon, but there's some free programs that you can use that. So like Mesh Mixer is a program that can help you hollow things out.
Okay.
So yeah, there's, you know, techniques that you can use as you're kind of prototyping and iterating to, get the cost to be good. I'd say like a typical, figure, like a 28 millimeter sized figure would be, you know, $30.
Just
like
a custom 20, original 20, 30, figure.
Depends on how much material is being used, yep, in it. But, actually I just printed one that was 12. That was, you know, kind of a skinny guy.
Yeah. $12 is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay. But you had the design.
I made that design.
Yeah. We're not talking about, Shapeways. You have that network of artists that, yep, are available for you to contact through that site. You don't actually do the,
yeah,
designing.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, so we don't, I know I do design on my own and for fun, just because I like it. And that's why I'm a community manager at Shapeways.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, we have a great community of all sorts of people from all walks of life that are interested in making things. And in a lot of cases, they're interested in collaborating.
Yeah. That's pretty neat. So what I'm coming at it from a complete, I guess, not understanding of how the process works. So
totally.
What have I missed in the whole, like, I get an idea,
yep,
I want to put it on, I want it to be made. Like, is this something, I mean, am I replacing things in my home with it? Are these vanity items? I mean, I guess it's all, all manner of things.
Yeah,
right?
It's kind of crazy because I think that once you start doing it, once you've made something, it sort of changes the way that you look at the world, right?
Okay.
Like where I'm going
I can just print
very
that,
very high level, but yeah, exactly. Like we're all used to kind of walking through life and we're like, oh, this doorknob broke. I got to go to the store and
I don't
find
know what you're thinking
one,
about.
Right?
I just went through a project in my house where I did custom frames for things.
Right?
Could I design some?
So you could design it,
in Photoshop, just some, you know, what I know the measurements to be, and print it instead of.
Yep.
Okay.
Exactly. Yeah, you could design anything that you see. You can figure out how to make it yourself and design it, or ask someone to help. So
yeah, okay.
I think one of the, you know, there was a a really popular stroller, and there was one part on it that just keeps breaking for people because they're, you know, pushing their kids around, and for some reason this one thing just wasn't made very well and it keeps popping off. So someone made a replacement for that, put it in the store, and they have a little business selling it to different people.
The replacement part.
They're selling the replacement part.
What is the strength? Because I'm looking around the room right now, and I see a bottle opener.
Like, we have bottle openers.
If I wanted to print really a bottle cool opener with my FTN logo or something on it,
yeah.
We have steel. Is there a material that could do it? Oh, okay.
We have legit steel. We have aluminum. There's a very popular, Klein bottle is. It's a theoretical mathematical object that only has like one surface. So it's like a Mobius strip.
A Mobius strip.
So it's like a 3D version of that. And someone made a Klein bottle opener as like a pun, basically. Yeah, yeah. And it works great. And yeah, it's
okay,
it's
cool. So there, I mean, this stuff, I mean, it really has caught up, I guess, to practical applications.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. So that's kind of the idea behind Shapeways is that people use it for prototyping and people use it for iteration and coming with ideas. But the goal and a lot of what we see is that you don't even have to stop at the prototype. You can make a finished product. You can make a complete idea that a consumer would want, just with 3D printing.
What's the website?
Shapeways.com.
Easy enough.
Easy, right? Yeah. And then if you are interested, we're doing a sign-up page right now. So it's shapeways.com/join/Adepticon, and we're giving away $200 to someone who signs up. So
that's pretty cool.
So yeah, if you want to get more information. And
where can they find you guys on Twitter and stuff?
At Shapeways.
All right.
So we have Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Tumblr and Pinterest. And you can hit us up there and say hi. If you want to talk to me, I'm at Automatron, A-T-H-O-M. ITRON.
I see what you did there.
Right? Yeah. I mean, you can always you can get in touch with me. If you reach out to Shapeways, you'll get in touch with me too. Probably or Seth or someone. There's a million ways.
Well, thanks for coming up and taking the time with me. I mean, this has been an interesting talk for me. I'm already thinking of things to do.
Right.
And I'm sure that, I mean, again, what's the wildest idea? Right. I know. I imagine it could be. Well, Andrew, have a good rest of your convention. Cool. And I'll see you soon.
Thanks, Paul.
All right.
Thanks for listening. Catch us every week and please subscribe on iTunes.
Forged Narrative is brought to you by Dicehead.com. www.dicehead.com. Games, hobby supplies, and comics. They have it all.
Hey everybody, this is Paul for another special segment of Forge Narrative. I'm joined today by Shane Grubb.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey man, you run Dicehead.
Right.
That's Dicehead.com.
Dicehead.com.
Where you have all kind of stuff.
Right.
We talk about it. We're a 40K based show for the most part, but what you have all kind of board games. I mean, you name it. Tell me what.
Yeah, so we got War Machine, Infinity, all kinds of hobby supplies. That's what we do on the website now.
And you're part of the team that runs ATC.
Correct. Yep.
And I know that is a huge thing that we're a believer in.
Right.
That's what, July?
July 15th and 16th.
15th and 16th this year. Cannot wait to be a part of that again. You got 300 gamers or something?
Yeah. Last year we did. Hopefully we'll have more this year.
But it's not just...
So we're growing.
You have also other systems that you're going to be running tournaments that weekend for.
Kings of War and X-Wing this year as well. It's 40K.
Awesome. So tell me what you got going on. Because I know I'm not just talking about your website where you sell stuff, but you also, you're a big member and active participant in the community. And I think that's something that we don't talk enough about.
Yeah. So one of the main things we do for the community is our World War 40K. And that's worldwar40k.com. It's a storyline campaign. It's ongoing. We've got a guy who writes, that's his specific job. He just writes that as missions are reported. So basically every month, put out a new set of missions. As those missions get played, he takes the results and makes framework for the next leg of the story. So the missions are based off that. It's all fun stuff. Sometimes it's a little lopsided, but
as games go, right?
Right. But the missions are all custom made. And so we work on that really hard. We enjoy that. We got to a point where we wanted to bring some fun back into the game. So, because everybody was practicing for ATC and it kind of got everybody.
It's a grind. It's not a grind in a bad way. You want to do well, and it's a competitive tournament. Yeah. And so, as all tournaments go, you practice leading up to it, especially if you, as much insight as you have into the missions when they're posted, you want to get ahead of the game, right? So, it takes up a lot of time of your casual gaming time.
Yeah, all of our local gamers, me and Chris both, we kind of suffered from that. Like everybody was, that's all they wanted to do was practice their ATC armies. And so we're like, So I was like, nah, I got to do something to get some people that just want to play casually.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So, with this game, you run the risk of alienating folks.
Yeah, and it happened there for a little bit.
That's one of the reasons, I mean, not to take us on a tangent, but I'm very excited about hearing about this matched, organized, and narrative play coming down the pipe, maybe from things that we appreciate the most.
Yeah.
And to see that it's all going to fit in.
Yeah.
And I think that fits directly in with what you're doing. So what's the website for
WorldWar40K.com?
And people can enter in. Like, it's not just for your local place either. People from everywhere can contribute.
Yeah, right? We got the guys over at Cromlech. They run events over in Poland. Is that where?
I think that's right.
So they run events. They run their tournaments using World War 40K missions because he's all about just doing fun stuff. So.
That is pretty cool.
And they also sponsor it too. So every month I give him a random email that where people have reported. He sends them some free stuff. So,
yeah.
It's worldwide. The name says.
Yeah, well. Yeah, well, right. But I just want to let people know that. I mean, you talked about how it maybe affected your local scene, but it's a place where people can all go and log their games or contribute in the overarching story. And anyway, be included in that part of the community.
Yeah, you can play one game. You can play 20 games a week. Doesn't matter. Okay. So, you know, super easy to report. And, you know, that's the main thing I have to keep telling everybody. You got to report your games or else the story doesn't change. I got people saying all the time, man, we love playing that. And I'm like, have you reported your games? Well, no, I haven't got. I was like, you got to report. Man.
But you can do that on the website, though.
Yeah, right? It's super easy. It's okay. It takes literally like
20
seconds.
Is there an email that people can use if they wanted to?
No, just use the form.
Okay. It's probably way cleaner, right? I mean, that's what the system is designed for. I was just curious. Yeah, so we're here at Adepticon, and you guys come. You've been coming for how many years?
This is 9 years setting up, and we played, so I think we're in our 10th year now.
That's pretty cool. So, why do you keep coming back?
Because it's a ton of fun, man. Even running a booth is like a ton of fun. Like, you know, we just get to hang out with everybody.
Seeing some of the same people over year after year. Meeting new people, you know, too.
Yeah, you know, there's like some people we only see once a year we become really good friends with. And maybe twice a year because they come down to the ATC sometimes, like the guys do now. That's why. I mean, it's a ton of fun. I mean, obviously we're here for business. We make some money.
Oh, sure, yeah.
You know, we make some money. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it's just a great time. I got to start playing again. I haven't played anything here at Adepticon besides board games. We play board games in the evening. Yeah. I haven't played miniature stuff.
Sigmar's a quick game, from what I understand. I don't know if you're into fantasy battle at all. Yeah. Or I shouldn't say fantasy battle.
Yeah, it's not fantasy.
Warhammer Age Sigmar.
Yeah, I've probably looking at those new dwarves when they come out. So
they look amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's as far as like new properties go, because it's new. I think that they're wanting to create a new style for themselves. But then, you know, just when you talk shop on your side, Are you seeing a benefit and increase in people's interest in some of these new things from your store side?
I mean, it's amazing. Once Games Workshop put out organized play or actually rules point system to play their game with, it started selling.
So. Yeah. Well, I think even the casuals, it gives structure.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying casuals is any kind of negative thing. It gives structure. So when, like, with the stuff like World War 40K and Wabi playing tournaments, that there's a little bit of structure. It doesn't even have to mean anything past the moment, but then we're all buying into a kind of collective consciousness, I think, that makes us feel more connected to what we're doing, which in me as a gamer makes me want to buy more figures, you know, for that next idea or that next campaign or whatever. So yeah. I think you're right. I think that they also, James Workshop also caught on to that.
Yeah. I have not personally tried to play Age of Sigmar yet. I'm still pretty bitter. It was a pretty big hit financially for game stores.
I've heard you're not the only retailer that I've heard about that when that change occurred, it basically made it to where some of the product, nobody was enthusiastic about the product for a while, even though they were committed. Yeah, they were committed to making it be something different. And then that General's Handbook came out. And people, I mean, I had the fortunate opportunity to speak with them about it. But, you know, anyway, I want to get your take on that stuff. And I'm really glad you're able to share it, and I'm enthusiastic about the new games, and I'm glad that it's affecting the retailers is the way it is. Can I have you back on later and talk about maybe some of the retail policy changes that they're doing?
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool, man. Well, have a good rest of your convention.
All right,
and I will talk to you soon.
All right, thanks.
You're listening to Forge the Narrative.
Hey everybody, this is Paul wrapping up this first show of Adepticon. This is actually Sunday night. It is Sunday night, right?
Yep. Monday morning.
Monday morning at this point. I'd like to report the Team Wrong Way Kids has won Best Sport in the Adepticon Team Tournament.
Fantastic time. We came out there, maxed out sportsmanship, and then had a great showing with about 220 battle points, kind of hitting hard, but still having a good time while we were doing it.
Had an amazing time. I mean, even everybody we played, I think, was, you know, you good folks, people there with the same interest in mind. You got Miles Hamrick in the room with us.
What's going on, guys?
And Justin Pizzarazza.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Yeah. Hey. Were we wrong with kids' successful outing, I would call?
I'd call it an absolutely successful outing. We came out there. We represented well. We had a great hobby time. We had great sports time. We were able to go out there and compete competitively. I think we did and accomplished everything we wanted to.
So awesome. It's cool that we were able to pull down one of the major awards. We're going to do a bigger recap show, and I know we have a lot more content coming from Forge the Narrative. You're not going to want to miss the next episode. So if you're not already a subscriber, please go ahead and subscribe. You will like what we have on the next show coming directly from Games Workshop. Anyway, you guys, really, this is not everybody again because it's late. Some people have already gone off. They've already started their travel plans. They could just be crashed out because it is 2:20 in the morning. So, hey, I want to thank you guys for burning the midnight oil with me and hanging out with me this weekend.
Oh, thanks so much. Had a great time. Like, couldn't expect a better group of people to hang out with, and all the great people we met and memories we made. It was fantastic.
Great team to be on. It's the only team to be on. Wrong Way Kids. Gonna make some stuff happen.
See ya.
Thanks for listening.